Also this morning we turn to the prophecy of Zechariah and read together chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, page 1469 in our Pew Bible, 1469. Zechariah chapter 8, our scripture passage. This is the word of God. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand, because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts? Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who have been hearing in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, who spoke in the day the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord of hosts, that the temple might be built. For before these days, there were no wages for man, nor any hire for beast. There was no peace from the enemy for whoever went out or came in. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not treat the remnant of this people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these. And it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, that I would not relent, so again, in these days, I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feast for the house of Judah. Therefore love, truth, and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. That's our scripture reading. And our text for the sermon of this morning we find in the first 6 verses. And I would like to read them closely once again. The verses 1-6, our text. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand, because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes? Says the Lord of hosts. That's our text. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in the youth of the church, brothers and sisters, and in the future of the church. I believe in the future of the church because I believe in the God of our fathers. This faith, too, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Indeed, we often don't see it. We don't see anything of it at all. The agonizing question comes up in our hearts sometimes, does the church still have a future in this country, a future in this world? It's stated sometimes the church loses its grasp on the youth through its never-ending struggles. Besides, consider the younger generation, the way they are. Our young people, our children, how receptive they are for the worldly way of life. How their young hearts crave for what this world has to offer. The world of sports, the world of culture, the world of entertainment. Keeping all this in mind, beloved, and so much more, do we then have the courage to keep it up, say it freely and gladly, I believe in the youth of the church and in the future of the church? Yes, beloved, yes, we dare maintain that statement because our believing is directed at God's promises. There are promises in the scriptures on which we build our hope. These promises have given God's people perspectives for the future. Promises and perspectives such as the one contained in the visions revealed to Zechariah. In them, the Lord first proclaimed that he would return to his people, to Jerusalem, with great jealousy. With great zeal, he would come to dwell again in the midst of his people. And as a fruit of that zeal, the restoration of the temple service would come about. Then also hear what more the prophet Zechariah may prophesy, the Lord is coming to fulfill his promises. The Lord will complete the reformation of the church. Then in that way, Jerusalem becomes again the city of truth, a city of faithfulness. The mountain of the Lord is again called the holy mountain. In that way, life will blossom and flourish again. The church will have a future again. In that restored city, young and old will dwell together. Old and young will feast together in commemoration of the Lord's reformation. Looking back at the faithfulness of the Lord in past reformations, they will confess their confidence in future revelations of the fulfillment of all the promises of the Lord. That's the confidence the Lord strengthens when we listen to Zechariah prophesying. The God of the covenant grants his restored church city the promised new life. We see, first of all, why the Lord brings liberation. Secondly, how the Lord works reformation. And thirdly, when the Lord wants commemoration. So I summarize the message of this morning as follows. The God of the covenant grants his restored church city the promised new life. We see first why the Lord brings liberation, then how the Lord works reformation, and thirdly, when the Lord wants commemoration. So first of all, why the Lord brings liberation. Brothers and sisters, it should not be too hard to imagine Zechariah in the midst of his people during the days following the night of the visions. Yes, even during the weeks or months after this revelation, the question concerning the contents and meaning of the visions must have come up. Especially when you consider the actual miserable circumstances in which the people found themselves, you can understand their discouragement and disbelief. After all, what are they? A miserable little group, a remnant, a leftover of the ones who lived in exile for 70 years. The elderly had died in Babylon, and not too many little ones were born in captivity. So they are there in Jerusalem as a broken people, a defeated nation. They had a task on their hands that seemed insurmountable. The judgment of the Lord had left them with so much rubble and ruin that rebuilding wasn't even near. And the opposition was such that progress toward the prophesied glory wasn't even in sight. Now, in our text, beloved, it's 2 years after the visions in one night, as you can conclude from chapter 7, verse 1, compared to chapter 1, verse 1. Zechariah is sent back to his people to reiterate the message of the visions. This is what the Lord says. It sounds like a mighty refrain throughout the chapter. Let no one ever think that the words of the Lord won't be fulfilled. They are the words of a great and mighty God. He is the Lord of hosts, who sends out his heavenly army, the chariotry and horses, in order to make his words come true. After all the toil and trouble of 2 years of plodding, brothers and sisters, the people began to doubt. Are you sure, Zechariah? Those visions will come true? It just seems too nice, too wonderful, too marvelous. A miracle has to happen, I guess. The doubt was written all over the people's faces, verse 6 implies. Then we hear the prophet Zechariah remind the people of the reason for their liberation from exile. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. That's what they have to learn first, that the zeal of God's love burns for his church city. The Lord is a zealous God. It's with the jealousy of the true lover that the Lord had come to seek his people in exile, beloved. His love for Zion had come out in all its yearning for restored communion. It was evident also from the subsequent wrath against the nations. He could not stand it any longer that his people were trodden underfoot. He restrained himself for a long time, yes, 70 years, but that was it. In his jealousy of love, he set out to vindicate his people. He disturbed the nations, opening a wide road for his church. That's the reason behind their liberation, the Lord's jealousy. That's the comforting fact in their return, the Lord's vindicating zeal. God is on fire for this small church. His love burns for Zion. You can imagine, beloved, what great effect these words must have had on this burned-out people. Perhaps their eyes had gone over the rubble and ruins, and they had asked, "Who can get excited about this situation?" Then to hear, "The Lord is greatly excited about it. The Lord is aroused in burning love for you, his church, and for this work." It was for that reason that he gave liberation time and again. Even when the years went by in which the church did not grow out to anything impressive, it still had his great love. Even when the people would scorn or scold the church, pull up their nose for such insignificant business, it still had his great jealousy. Then he was touched. For the church's business is God's business. Zion, Jerusalem, is his city and mountain. He wants to dwell there. Therefore, this is the word of the Lord. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Now, the prophet Ezekiel, brothers and sisters, had seen the opposite. How the Lord had left the church. How the glory of God had gone away. God had departed from his temple house and abandoned it for the enemies. Then again comes the day that the Lord no longer takes the kicking against the church, the walking over it. Then he returns. There he is. Now go to work. Build. Build, people. Build the temple of the Lord. He's come back to dwell in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, where unfaithfulness and the lie of false prophecy once prevailed, before the exile shall again be called City of Truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, which at one time was so horribly profaned, before the exile shall be called again the Holy Mountain. That's what happens when the Lord chooses to dwell among his people. And you will understand that all this, in the deepest sense and in the ultimate meaning, is the prophecy of the messianic future, brothers and sisters. Prophecy of Jesus Christ, in whom the Lord permanently and definitely dwells among his people. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. This is prophecy, beloved, of that New Testament glory of Pentecost of the church, which now in Jesus Christ may be a city of truth and a holy mountain in the midst of his world. Then the church must be characterized, however, as the city of truth, of faithfulness, literally. Faithfulness to the word of the Lord in a life of obedience to God's commandments is the glory of the church. That's how they may be a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Yes, in the course of history, the Lord has revealed this jealousy, this jealous love over and over. For his church had to remain faithful, had to remain pillar and bulwark of the truth. Then he gave liberation in order to maintain in his restored church the promised new life with him. At the same time, he revealed himself in his jealousy with great wrath as well. He is and he was a consuming fire to all those who oppose him in his course of victory. Yes, brothers and sisters, that is the case with each and every one personally as well. Nowhere in the world is it as beautiful as in the church. Hence, also, nowhere it is as dangerous as it is there. Against those who reject his love, he will vindicate himself. That's his glory too. You see, it's this zeal, this jealousy, which the people had to see behind the eight visions. Thus they will become convinced that they will come true. It's this love which should incite the people to go to work too. Then they will also see the benefit of God's glory when life begins to blossom again. Then life becomes a feast for young and old, which we see in the second place, how the Lord works reformation. So the way the prophet Zechariah describes the work, beloved, and the way it will be worked out, it's typically a covenantal work, a work accomplished in the generations, for children's children. Through the generations, the Lord shall work his glorious vindication. Therefore, we see in our text the evidence of this covenant plan as well in the meeting of the generations. We see them in our text. The old aged, the old timer fathers, and the wrinkled grannies, the opas and the omas, the pakas and the bepas. And we see them in the streets of Jerusalem. Zechariah conjures up the picture in which there will again be a generation of the old and the gray leaning on their canes. And he shows them in the company of the next generations, their grandchildren, who are playing to their heart's content. Where? Also in the streets of Jerusalem. In that picture, there are places in the city again where the rubble is removed. There are courts again for playgrounds, implying that the threats are gone. Well, beloved, now you compare that with their former days. I think of the picture Jeremiah draws in chapter 9 in the lamentation of the daughters of Jerusalem. Death has climbed in through our windows and has entered our fortresses. It has cut off the children from the streets and the young men from the public squares. Jeremiah 9, verse 21. Or consider Lamentations 5, verse 14. The elders are gone from the city gate. The young men have stopped their music. Not to mention Hosea 13, verse 16. They will fall by the sword. Their little ones will be dashed to the ground. Their pregnant women ripped open. Abortion in the most gruesome manner. That's how it was. When the covenant Lord laid the curse of the covenant on his people. Now, the Lord has worked reformation, which Zechariah pictures as covenant blessing par excellence. The older generation enjoying the evening of their life in the city of God. It brings a song to the hearts of the hearers, those whom the Lord will cherish. Within his house he put, there planted, they took root, and in his courts they flourish. And why are they sitting there? Why not at home? Well, precisely because the children are playing there. That doesn't only bring the sparks of delight to their eyes, but also the fruits of their life to their hearts. They still bring forth fruit in old age, the psalmist adds. Namely, they show that the Lord is upright. He is the rock of their life, and the rock is Christ. There is no unrighteousness in him. You see, brothers and sisters, how the Lord works out restoration and reformation. The older generation finds the younger generation in the streets of the church city. Today, it can be heard off and on that the elderly should listen to the younger ones. But that's not scriptural. That's considered foolishness in the book of Proverbs. The younger generation listens to the wisdom of the older generation when they show that the Lord is upright. Then the younger generation will hear of the anxieties of the past, the worries, the unbelief in their father, and they will hear how the Lord helped them out. For he is faithful. That's how the reformation unto a new life the Lord takes place. In Jerusalem, on the streets of the church city. No, beloved, such will not happen when the youth of the church plays elsewhere. When the games of Babylon squares are preferred. That could happen too, of course. Then the so-called generations gap will come about and the elderly will become estranged from the younger generation. When the older generation is full of the goodness of the Lord and the younger ones are not playing on the church grounds but occupy themselves with the entertainment of Babylon, then they deprive the elderly of their delight. Then they will not be able to show that the Lord is upright. Then happens what I read this week, that a grandfather speaks to his grandson about God, and they in utter confusion conclude that they believe in different gods. But that will not happen, however, when the generations delight in each other's presence in the streets of the church city. And it is in that way that the promises of new life will be fulfilled. For there, in the church, the laughing, playing children are the fulfillment of the Lord's promises. Seeing them, the elderly will see, will hear the faithfulness of the Lord. From the mouth of these infants, praise is sounded. God prepares himself glory, joy, and honor. Beloved, just think, what a comfort, what a hope this word meant for the discouraged remnant, the small church at Jerusalem. In their days, they had heard no laughing. There was no room for playing. And old-timers, there were none. However, this prophecy opens up new perspectives. The Lord, in his zealous love, will dwell again among his people, old and young. For this also is the glory of Jerusalem, a carefree eventide of life in the presence of the Lord, a carefree youth in the presence of God. That's God's work, the work of the God of the covenant. He still works it out that way, so that our children play before the church fathers and before the Father of the church. Also, in that our young people should be encouraged to organize visits of two or three with the elderly and the sick. That will be so beautiful, so excellent. It creates an atmosphere of joy, blessing, and of glory in the congregation here at Grace. Use those opportunities, both young and old, to speak about the works of the Lord, his blessings of the past, with radiant faces from joy. They can reminisce on the Lord's return to his people in the liberation. That's how the Lord fulfills his word still, beloved. Also in 2021, when the congregation is involved in various study circles, studying God's word, the confessions, and the history of the church. And as far as the children are concerned, the Lord has blessed us in that way too. The reformation of the church is fulfilled via marriage and family life as well. Then also today, we must not deprive the Lord of his glory in the praise of infants, not withhold from the elderly their joy by messing around to keep our family small unnecessarily. And with respect to the reformed covenantal education of the youth of the church, the entire congregation is involved, old and young people, for by it the ongoing reformation of the church is at stake. And beloved, when we then see this work of reformation today and realize that its fulfillment, the circumstances are becoming harder, then we have to listen to the prophet Zechariah again. When we hear, even in the homes of church people, words of doubt, "Ah, Rev, you are dreaming." Sentiments of uncertainty. "Ah, Rev, you are fighting a losing battle." Then I proclaim to you today, it's time that we remember. That's our third point, when the Lord wants commemoration. For what was it, brothers and sisters? What was it? Suppressed laughter? A smile? An expression of unbelief which made Zechariah add to his prophecy the question, "It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at this time, but will it seem marvelous to me?" The visions seemed unreal. The prophecy sounded incredible in the ears of the people. And today as well, the reactions can be heard. Cannot be. Impossible. The church has had its time. Christianity has come to an end. A little while yet, and no boy or girl will join the church. Too marvelous. Old men and women on the streets. Open spaces as playgrounds for boys and girls. Too marvelous. Then what about those seven young people who will profess their faith next Sunday? Just remember. The question the Lord asks in verse 6 refers to a well-known event in the history of Israel. When God comes to tell Abraham and Sarah that soon in a wondrous way, the promised seed of the church will be born. Then Sarah, hearing it from her tent, received the message with laughter. Impossible. Can be. Then the Lord said as well, is anything too hard, too marvelous for the Lord? Through Zechariah, the Lord reminds his people, brothers and sisters, remember? Remember how your history started? Don't turn away in unbelief. Don't pass on the promises as impossible. Don't consider your calling today a dream, a losing battle. Remember Abraham and Sarah, for they laughed again. Those old, dead people laughed a year later while bent over a cradle holding their little Isaac. That's how the church was born. Marvelous from nothing. This is what the Lord says. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Old and young were found in Abraham's tent. Old and young will be found in Jerusalem streets. Old and young will be there till the end of days. Because the miracle of miracles, the marvel of marvels has happened when the seed of the church was born. Jesus Christ was born in the way of the absolute miracle. Remember? And say if anything is too marvelous for this God of the covenant. Do we seem nothing but a remnant, beloved? Does it seem as if the church has had its time? Remember how the Lord gave freedom from bondage time and again. Remember how the Lord has directed kings and nations to open ways to his church. Remember the faithfulness and zeal of the Lord, preserving for himself the city of truth, the holy mountain, the church of Christ, here and throughout the world. The zeal of the Lord has nearly completed the visions. The Holy Spirit is still working out his reformation of the peoples. Therefore, continue to build. Build here also, no, not just this beautiful physical building, but the church of Christ. Build for your future delight as elderly. Build for the coming generation. Everyone may participate. Everyone has a place, young and old, the youth, the healthy, and the sick. The children without a handicap and those that are challenged that way. The one can do more than the other, yet everyone is involved. For when we are zealous because he is zealous, when we are reformed because he gives his word, then there is a future. Too marvelous? Not for those who hold to the triad of the Reformation. Sola Scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide. Amen.